And the weather today, highs of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade after the early frost. There'll be some bright sunny spells with possibility of a few showers later on in the day. Quick sports report, Claire. 6-1. I gather from Mary Dancy all the goals were scored for Lincoln in the second half.
Yeah, it was very tense. We kind of, I think the atmosphere was primarily made by the Uni of Lincoln Dance Society because they were fabulous.
Well, we expect no less, surely.
Obviously, one of my flatmates danced and she was incredible. So,
would you like to give her a name check?
Yeah, Sophie Fox. She's great.
Well done.
She will be on Strictly Come Dancing one day. Well, I'm determined.
Well done, Sophie Fox. That's marvellous stuff. And your first ever football match, I believe, Claire.
Yeah.
So, would you highly recommend it?
Yeah, it was quite scary and like it was fun, but people can be so mean. They say such horrible things.
Mm-hmm. particularly the people from the other university. But you know, graciousness in sort of victory. 6-1 sounds like a real spanking, was it?
Yeah, it was. It really was. And there was number 3. I forget his name. Scored like 3 of the goals. So he was just like speedy.
That's a hat trick.
Yeah,
there we are. It's
amazing.
Marvelous. Well done to the University of Lincoln football team, or soccer if you're listening in the States. I know it's a different ball game entirely. We look forward to that, and obviously the next Cathedral Cup coming up next year, so it could be an ongoing thing. But I like to feel that this is effectively Lincoln's response to that boat race that takes place, you know, on an annual sort of basis.
Definitely.
About spring, you know, you see much more sort of, you know, impactful from that point of view. So, you know, we continue in good news format from that. Coming up next, Simon Reeve will be talking about travel and how sometimes we need to be a little bit more adventurous, step outside of our comfort zones, and more.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Travel, a wonderful way of broadening the mind. And when you actually have the delightful winner of the Special Contribution Award to Travel Media Awards 2015 and general all-round renaissance man, let's be honest, it's travel TV presenter extraordinaire Simon Reeve. Simon, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. Did you say renaissance man?
I think so. I think it's definitely there and, you know,
sounds classy.
Richly deserved. This item, really, which focuses on people's holiday destinations and so on, Australia is still the most popular foreign holiday, according to Quoney's Travels scenario here. The USA is obviously still up within that. Despite, obviously, you leading the way, Simon, some of those more offbeat destinations, there's still a bit of concern about, shall we go over there or not?
I think it's fascinating. This is the annual Quoney Worldwide Trends Report, and it's a great way of understanding where Brits take their holidays, particularly good at helping us to understand premium travel, which I suppose includes long haul and places like Australia, of course. I mean, I can completely see the attraction of somewhere like Oz. You know, it's a good, healthy distance away. It's exotic. It's different. They speak the language. They're warm and welcoming. It's a much more interesting place than many people realise. Most of my TV programmes, of course, have been and slightly more
a great mix of music.
I don't necessarily think it's about where I'm going. It's more about how we travel, I think. Mm. What I try to encourage people to do is get up from the sunbed and actually get out there and experience things. And I was quite excited to see in the new report, actually, that those experiences, they're becoming very much part of what people are looking for in their holidays. So wish list experiences, authentic experiences, they're helping to drive demand for worldwide travel. Things like swimming with turtles in the Maldives or seeing gorillas in Rwanda. This is the sort of exciting things that people are looking to do now.
I know that ACE producer Rachel will probably be inundated with requests to actually travel aboard the Orient Express with Valentine's Day approaching, but is that something which, again, it's almost become something where people are in love with the idea as opposed to really making their own experiences and making their own sort of special memories?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we're all guided by what we read and see on the telly and, you know, what our friends say, and of course we're taken with the romance of travel still. You know, this is an extraordinary time. We are living, I think we're living in the golden age of travel, when people can do the most incredible things. And it'd be such a shame if people didn't take those opportunities and take those chances when they can. So, you know, we've got some rising star destinations in the report as well that are coming through. So Japan, Myanmar, Burma. Kenya, Namibia, those are all places that people are looking to go to as well. You know, that you're not necessarily following millions of other tourists to those places. You're going to have a very real and authentic experience if you go to them. You are going to rack up your own memories.
Fear, of course, false expectations appearing real, which is an acronym I've often used to address this system. Whether it's viruses in Central America, whether it's the notion of terrorism or natural disasters or other political shenanigans and so on, is that something which you think is impacting on the sort of scenario? Or is it just a case of, well, sometimes you've got to feel the fear and do it anyway?
I certainly think you should do it anyway. I think the great surprise for me since I started travelling is just how safe and welcoming the world actually is. As long as you wear a seatbelt and use your common sense, I think you'll be fine. The report, the Kioni report, is showing that half of us aren't put off from travelling by terrorism or disasters. So we're not too worried about frightening, scary stories in the media. And thank goodness for that, because you just don't want to live your life on your knees. You've got to get up and get out there and see these things while you can. We have to get risk into perspective as well. You know, we live in a country, not to be flippant, but we live in a country where hundreds of people are hospitalized every year because they have accidents while putting on trousers. Now, nobody's saying we shouldn't go wearing trousers because they're risky.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you can wear your shorts if you
it's
want,
true.
But I'm keeping my legs covered. You know, the point being that there is risk everywhere. Life is fundamentally risky, and sometimes we can forget that. We should not avoid having incredible experiences because we are fearful or scared, or we've heard too many frightening tales in the news. You know, the world is a safe and welcoming place. Just be a bit careful. You know, just use your common sense and you will be fine.
One of the best titles for a website that I've ever encountered, Simon, is your very own shootandscribble.com, which I think is wonderful. And before people get concerned, does that mean the National Rifle people are involved? No, it's actually shooting as in videos, as in text, I suspect, really.
Yeah, it's a little bit of writing and a little bit of telemaking.
Exactly, but over 110 countries that you've travelled to, from that particular perspective, are there sort of aspects which, if you were giving advice to the listeners, sort of thinking, okay, fine, Simon has convinced us, we've looked at the Kioni scenarios, we're going to go for this, where would you say the best first destination might be? Or what would your recommendation be?
I would just really encourage people to push themselves a little bit further out of their comfort zone. So, you know, go a little bit further, do things that tweak your buttons and give you some incredible memories. It's really key that we take these opportunities while we can and we get out there. You know, think about what you want. You know, if you want to go somewhere like Kenya or Namibia, then for goodness sake, go. Don't put it off until next week or next month or next year until you've painted the living room or got a new job. Do it now while you can. It's really fascinating to read what people are going for. You know, the Kioni seeing holidays which have an adventure, cultural or touring element, grow at twice the pace of beach breaks over the past couple of years. So clearly people are looking for these experiences now. They want to rack up some serious memories in life, and travel is such a magnificent way of doing it. So think about what you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for wildlife and sunshine, you can't do better than go to Africa.
And in terms of language, would you maintain that actually, if you are going to language where English is not the native tongue, that it's worthwhile at least making an attempt to actually communicate with natives?
If you can, but you know, I'm your typical Brit in the sense I've never managed to speak my own language particularly well, let alone any others. So English will get you round most of the world, and making eye contact, shaking people by the hand with warmth and friendliness, these are basic things, but they really do help. You know, nobody expects you to speak some obscure dialect or language. They'll be understanding. They are nice, these foreign folk. You know, when you get out there, you realise the world's a welcoming place. Don't be frightened by it.
There we are. I think that's the big message that's come across today. And if you are afraid of flying, take the boat. That's the clear thing. You can always
You've
do a cruise.
You've got other options.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are sort of ways forward. Simon, splendid touching base with your good self. As I said, February would not be February without connecting with your good self and the Kioni travel scenario. 36 years it's been going as a survey. Just phenomenal from that. Website, presumably we can go to the Kioni website and find out more details from that.
You certainly can. And of course, there's a Twitter as well. You can follow them on @KioniTravelUK. They'll have lots of information to help you make decisions.
I think it's only a matter of time, Simon, before the first exploration that you take to Mars will be happening. And I hope we're actually there to connect with you on that.
We're going to send you on a long journey, Simon, that you might not come back from. I'm not sure about that one. That might be pushing it.
It's a thought. And finally, those two classic questions, really. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this travelling concept talk today? Has it been okay for you?
I have. It's been great fun. Thank you for your interest.
We will hopefully speak again soon. Simon Reeve, as I said, Renaissance man, as well as top travel and TV presenter extraordinaire. Many thanks indeed.
All the best.
Of course, I'm amazed that Simon doesn't really make his way to Lincoln. There's so much happening here, as well as, of course, an outstanding University of Lincoln football team. I know I mentioned it a few times. Jane Southall, welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good morning.
As ever, a sheer delight to have you on board. I'm going to actually sort of show a screenshot now. An image, which I guarantee will have your fellow midweek drivettes just basically saying the word "ah." Are you ready for this? Okay,
yes.
Here it comes. From last year's Countryside Links, some early midweek drive audience testers there. Yeah, and it's coming up. I know, it's just, what can you say when you've actually got that kind of level of, you know, just peeking round as though they're saying, what's going on from that point of view? And of course, some of the team who are actually there on the first ever Countryside Links event and package that was there. And it's happening again. Rosie must be beside herself with excitement.
Oh, she is. 10th of April, it's happening. Yes, yes. And lots of interest. Yeah, it's a really good event.
Could be your first location report, Tessa.
I would love to go, but I've got to say, the 10th of April... Yeah. Yeah. It's my sister's birthday.
Bring her along. Exactly.
Definitely, she'll love it.
Yeah. She can make her cake. She can work with the little crafts. Exactly. You can stroke the animals. You can get your. It is literally just the most amazing event ever. You can even actually shoot people if you wish. Only kidding.
Don't go that far.
I'm going to be at archery there. Emma Tinson. Emma sends her best. She's off on a story today. That's the key thing. She's called to do her little story.
Bustling around yesterday.
Bustling around, exactly. But productively bustling.
Yes.
Much as Fitzwilliams always productively bustles on every, you know, sort of activity he gets involved with. Isn't that right, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, I like to think so. How kind of you.
Very good indeed. So much to pack into the programme today, including lots of stuff on the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society's fabulous Countryside Links, because, as ever, Richard, it's one of those takeovers where Jane sort of mends the sort of broadcasting scenario here, and actually we welcome her to share the wonderment of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. Of course, there's still other things like the Lincolnshire Show that's around. Can you buy tickets for the Lincolnshire Show now? Presumably you can.
They're not just online yet. We've changed the sort of tickets that we do. We're still doing e-tickets, but we've got them all barcoded this year. So they're almost ready to go. The design was approved yesterday.
But presumably tickets are available for this Countryside Links returning to the showground system.
Oh, they are available, yes.
Exactly. So it's all good. Richard, one of these days you're going to have to come up and see, if not Countryside Links, then certainly the Lincolnshire Show. If only to actually have a ride in the tractor.
Yeah.
Will the potato people be coming around this year again?
The potato people will be there, yes.
Splendid. An event in Lincolnshire about agriculture without potatoes simply wouldn't be real.
Exactly. Soul music with an extra twist.
Thank you. Anyway, Richard, moving on. What would you like to bring with us today for your first offering when you got Claire Margerison, Tessa Snart, Mary Dancy, and I keep thinking it should actually be Dame Jane Southall. I mean, I really think we need to get this along. Anyway, Jane Southall.
Already.
Precisely. So what would you like to launch us on first off? I presume it's not Deadpool.
It is a bigger splash.
A bigger splash. Exactly.
And it is an erotic thriller. And this is, in fact, a movie directed by Luca Guadagnino, who did I Am Love with Tilda Swinton so superbly. And he's going to be a big name, believe me, in movies, because we see and meet pop rock star Marianne Lane, played superbly by Tilda Swinton. She has a vast fan base, and she is recuperating in the Greek island of Pantherina from a throat operation. Will her voice come back, for example, the question mark that much perturbs everybody. And she's with her partner Paul, played by Matthias Schoonhart, so always very good and underplaying roles, but a troubled character. And joining them without any warning is Harry Hawkes, played by Ralph Fiennes, a former lover of Marianne. He's, in fact, given Marianne to Paul back in the days when they were in the music industry, and he was even as wild as he, well, he's remained wild, and he regrets this, and he brings his extremely sexy 17-year-old daughter Penelope, played by Dakota Johnson, who's up for the EE BAFTA Rising Star Award, by the way, voted for the public, which is on Sunday, just to mention, with him. And, well, he's made the mistake of his life losing Marianne. He intends to see whether he can get her back. And Paul is at a rather sensitive period because he's been, well, extremely ill and, well, mentally ill, in fact. And this is a movie which will fascinate. The exotic location, a very, very interesting movie anthropologically. And we meet people who superficially have it all. Around the island, we have migrants. They're in camps. They're perpetually appearing throughout the movie, so we get a sense of a crisis that's external. But it's the primal urges, it's the jealousies, it's the rivalries that appear, and who does what to whom and who has designs on whom is part of a movie that will keep you absolutely riveted because they're superlative performances. Visually, it's very dexterous, and we see emerging aspects of human nature that lead to a very, very surprising denouement. So this is a movie that I really would recommend because Ralph Fiennes' outrageous performance, showy enough, but it hides all sorts of insecurities in his personal life, not to mention mistakes he's made in the past. And also it's an interesting look for those of us who know something about music. The character has links with the Rolling Stones, for example, and there's that aspect of it which will appeal. But it's a movie that's so well shot and directed, and I can't resist recommending it because this is a real, it is chilling in some ways, it's fascinating in others, and it's riveting throughout.
Well, normally I would have actually screened the trailer in the studio, but Mr. Computer's decided to actually just show us a blank screen, effectively. I'm not sure that's a comment. Maybe it's making some sort of view on the whole thing. Or maybe it's just a case of, let's just share this with the experience of those people who don't have a multi-screen facility in front of them. You might be driving your car at 20 past 9, or 20 past 8 even, on a Thursday morning. It's just outrageous. But from what Richard's loquacious description presented to us, Jane, would you consider a bigger splash?
I would, yes. Sounds very interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't mind recouping in Greece as well.
I think you should actually put it to the rest of the team at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. I mean, there's so much work you put into play within that whole field that, you know, ultimately, you know, you just need to chill out.
I know
Claire's already putting in the sort of bid for it from that perspective.
Definitely.
The official selection of the Venice Film Festival, and we're catching it now. Mary Dancy, does it appeal to yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I'll definitely have to go give it a watch.
Okay, that's sort of middling, I think, from that point of view.
Too short to expect, so good.
Tessa?
Yes, I definitely would as well. Richard sold the film well. He described it very well.
Tessa, of course, being the Midweek Drive's Morning Edition's answer to Dakota Fanning for awards and all sorts of things. Johnson. Well, both of them. You know, I don't know. Dakota. It's a strange, wonderful name. It's still probably better.
She was in 50 Shades of You Know What.
Really? Is that another sequel to Grey? And moving on, shimmering with intrigue and romance, I see. It's also been given a rating there. And Claire?
I'm not normally a fan of, like, thrillers. I say that, but I haven't actually watched that many thrillers, so I'd be quite interested to see what it's like.
Scotsman says it's mesmerising.
Ralph Fiennes on absolutely fantastic form. He's always very, very good. But Tilda Swinton, fascinating also, playing a character who can't talk because you can feel the constraints, but nonetheless there's plenty of emotion around. And Matthias Gunhardt's, the emotion is very suppressed, but the feelings, as we discover, are there. And of course, Dakota Johnson, very, very good indeed. So a movie that I really would recommend is that it will throw up a surprise or two.
An erotic thriller, as you said. Don't know what John Wenham will be making of this, but still, never mind. Where do you want to go to now, Richard, with your second selection today?
It's a concussion. a movie that's very, very powerful. It's directed by Peter Landesman, and it is billed as a biographical sports medical drama, which may sound a bit dry, but my goodness me, this isn't a dry movie. It is affronted by an absolutely superlative performance by Will Smith, who, as you know, is together with his with Jada Pinkett Smith and also with Spike Lee, leading a boycott of the Oscar ceremony. And one of the reasons for it is the fact that, as you know, Oscar So White has been one of the, what is the elephant in the room this year with the Academy Awards. But he plays Dr. Bennett Amalu, a Nigerian doctor who's come to the to America and seeking the American dream. He is attached to his local church and lucky enough to get gorgeous lodger Prema, played by Gugu Mbatha Raw. But he's also a forensic pathologist, and he discovers that professional football players, really top figures in the game, suddenly go AWOL. Something happens to them, and it's a matter of investigating brain damage, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE. Well, these are tragedies that the National Football League is not anxious or investigated. Now, this may appear a movie that lacks drama, and as I say, it may appear a bit technical. This is, in fact, a very involving film, and it's a superlative performance by Will Smith, aided by a very good Alex Baldwin, the fine actor, as Dr. Julian Bowles, who's been attached to the NFL and he's assisting him. And parts of this movie are ambiguous. There is, and it's one of its faults, it's unclear to what extent there is a certain amount of physical intimidation threatened. But the facts are that America's national game does not welcome this sort of investigation. It's a true story. It's a movie that I would recommend if you want to see Will Smith at his very, very best. And even if the script isn't always subtle, it's very hard-hitting. This is a powerful movie. It deserves to be seen. And also, Will Smith did get a Golden Globe nomination for playing Dr. Amalu, and he certainly deserved it. And I have to say, given the Oscars nomination of Matt Damon, who was so good in The Martian, but against Will Smith here, I would have thought, with Tom Hanks in Bridge of Spies as well, it's terribly close to call. Smith is absolutely excellent because he becomes a somewhat complex, disillusioned figure. But nonetheless, he's on a crusade to prove that something is very, very wrong and it's being covered up.
Anybody who can actually bring in encephaly and cerebral hemispheres and so on into a midweek drive morning edition film review is always good. But Concussion, Jane, does it appeal? Or would you say no?
It doesn't appeal. Actually, it would appeal, and I know my son would probably like to watch it. Will Smith's a really good actor, and I know he
saves always, the world so often.
He does, yeah. So if I had to choose between the two, I'd go with the first one. But yeah, I probably would watch the second.
Good choice. Ranking the actual movies. I like that, Jane. That's a feature we might actually introduce in various sort of lines. Yeah.
Very good idea.
Claire?
I really like the sound of that. I think it's really interesting, especially because it's sort of based on reality as well. No, I love Will Smith. He's brilliant. So I definitely would go see that.
He is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You'll be somewhat chilled at the end when you discover what has happened subsequently.
Well, no spoilers, but thankfully...
No, none at all.
Exactly. Things are being looked at properly from that point of view. Tessa?
Any film with Will Smith in it is a good film.
So really? Independence
Day?
Yeah, Men in Black?
Yeah.
Okay. Bless her. And Mary?
Yeah, no, I definitely want to see this one. I think it sounds really cool and really interesting. Excited. Splendid.
When's Will Smith going to actually be joining the Lincolnshire Showground? Because I think it's high time he put in an appearance, actually.
Anytime he wants to.
We can
accommodate him.
Precisely. Richard, I know there's still stacks to do, including the Donmar Warehouse and various other bits and pieces, but as I say, time is tight. We need to squeeze in a couple of other sort of fine folk. Mary, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams, please? Yes.
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I most certainly have.
Good, good, good. And will you be joining us again soon?
I most certainly hope so. Yes. With the BAFTA Awards on Sunday, perhaps we could review
it,
those.
It's this Sunday, isn't it? Yes, the whole thing.
Perfect show.
It'll be great, and let's just hope Ricky Gervais is host. No, sorry, only kidding, Rich. I know.
I think that's a good one you've thrown at me. The 11th time I'll be doing it. Thank goodness.
I don't know. Sometimes Stephen Fry, I think nobody can quite get out the image of him sort of nude in Sherlock Holmes' Game of Shadows, really. But
that's... as you say, was somewhat memorable.
If
we had Gervais, it would be absolutely... well, it really would be unfortunate.
And that's the message. You mentioned, obviously, Will Smith not necessarily coming to the Lincolnshire Showground, but this gentleman certainly is. Reg Dwight, little plug for Sir Elton John when he arrives in Lincoln for the Lincolnshire Show. Tickets presumably still available. Have they all gone?
They haven't all gone. There's a few left, but the sales have been really good. Fantastic response to it. And everyone you speak to is going.
It's what his entire career has been building for, really.
It is, yeah.
Elton John at the Lincolnshire Showground. Quite sure why you would want to deny the passengers the right to actually disembark, but never mind, I suppose we can actually ask him. It is a Lincolnshire Showground Agricultural Society half special takeover. Oh, clumsy title, but I'm sure we'll work on the whole thing. With, of course, the director of the Lincolnshire Showground, Jane Southall, in the house, so to speak. Eva McDonald's with us as well. Yay, Eva! Excellent. We'll speak to Eva, obviously, as the whole thing proceeds. But Eva, Countryside Links, you weren't there last year because you weren't even a Midweek Drivette then.
No,
you
I wasn't.
Hadn't even started your Sew Festival ambassador duties.
Yeah.
Do you think that you'll be attending this year's Countryside Links?
Yeah, can do. Sounds good.
It's sensational. Okay. And the date, once again?
10th of April.
The 10th of April. So after Easter. So time to actually sort of, you know, work through a whole range of other factors there. And in many ways, it's very much an opportunity, presumably, to once again build the balance between education being fun and the importance of the countryside and the activities that take place in the countryside, and really the fact that, you know, people who live in towns or in urban environments, etc., it's not just for country folk, is it?
No, and we sort of aimed it at a weekend so it can be for families. We're all busy these days, and with children at school and that, it's quite nice to do something together as a family, so we thought on a Sunday might be a good opportunity.
You got double your expected number in year one.
Yes.
And looking back, the weather was interesting. I know.
Interesting. Yeah, I look like Wurzel Gummidge on a bad hair day by the time
It'll be a lot better in April. We put the order in there from that point of view, but one of the quotes from last year's Young Visitors to Countryside Links was, "My favourite bit was looking at all the animals. They were really soft and cute." It's like Midweek Drivettes.
Yeah.
And they made lots of things. They had a ride on a tractor and trailer. So great stuff from that point of view. And as we mentioned, Rosie Crust. It's her real name. I know. It's Rosie Crust, the Education and Development Officer for the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. Because it's a team effort. I know it's a team effort, but I always think this is kind of her baby.
It is. I mean, Rosie's great. Rosie's been with us, it's the second Countryside Links now, and she's a background as an ex-primary school teacher. So we had Farmhouse Breakfast Week where we had a school come in each day to learn about breakfast, the importance of breakfast, where your food comes from. And we also, and I'm giving her a plug. We're taking tractors into schools. We wanted a tractor to go to every primary school in Lincolnshire. We had a target of 50, and we're over 60 tractors that are going into school so children can understand farming. And all children love tractors, don't they, really?
You can't have enough tractors in schools, that's what I say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take that, Key Stage 4, 5 and 6. It's great stuff. Elton John, details in terms of when he's coming, how people can actually access the whole thing, because it's actually after the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show, so he's got a lot to... Is it before?
It's just a couple of weeks before.
So actually, he's the warm-up act.
He's the warm-up act for this year's
Lincolnshire Agricultural Society show. This is good.
2 weeks before the Lincolnshire Show, so no pressure on our part at all to get the show ground ready, as you say, but Elton wants to come to Lincoln, we could only say yes, couldn't we, really? So tickets are still on sale. You can get them via Ticketmaster. They have sold extremely well, but there are still more available.
Excellent. You rightly say, on the website, which of course is LincolnshireShowground.co.uk, one of the most recognised, most talented musicians of our time, So very good to sort of touch base with respect to that. So good. Okay, other things that are happening, Jane?
Oh, there's lots of things happening this year. Now
you've got the Geek Festival, got the SFX Geek Festival. Curiously, when I tried to contact them via the medium of email, it was spat back at me. So obviously, I wasn't excited. I thought, what, where's it going from that sort of point of view? So we have to sort that thing through. But
We have Antiques Fair. We've got Comedy Curry coming up in March. Comedy Curry we do a couple of times a year, which is quite a nice Friday night curry. A few comedians. We've got Custom Culture, which is an event we had last year, and if anyone sees sort of the trailer for it on I think it's on YouTube, it's like custom cars, but you've also got Harley Davidsons, which I've got a soft spot for, Alex, and then we got Lambrettas, and you've got people dressed up and just fun, and all the music, and they're all dancing. It's just something a bit different.
It is just the place to celebrate and rejoice on almost a weekly basis, because something always happening. You mentioned trailers. It's in her contractual rider that we have to always play this every time she arrives in the studio. So
singer, scholar, festival ambassador and midweek drivette, it's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, sorry Jane, it's just, you know, otherwise she throws a wobbly, she goes all diva on us,
and
we
go,
oh, we don't know. Eva, you're pretty much a regular at the Lincolnshire Show, of course, but were you aware of all the other great things that take place courtesy of the Lincolnshire Show Ground and the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society?
No, I wasn't, actually, no.
Yeah, and this is somebody whose family relations actually have exhibited as well, so it's a constant line of spreading that word, isn't it?
It is. It's trying to get across. I mean, the showgrounds are such a great venue, and we're doing more and more and more, but some people still associate it just with the Lincolnshire Show, and the Lincolnshire Show's a great event, but it's 2 days out of 365. There's lots of things happening.
Precisely. Hopefully Ian Lennox will be joining us fairly shortly. We might even squeeze in a little feature on life insurance. He might not. We might have to hold fire on that. Dr. Linda Papadopoulos will be joining us to talk about the challenge of choice on Valentine's Day. I'll just do a quick swing round here, because we did talk about one of these key messages that was across. Apparently, the worst thing you actually do is go out for a meal on Valentine's Day. It can be a nightmare. You know, so I don't know if people are sort of thinking about that or not, as case may be, but don't do it. The other thing is, as psychologist Judy James will actually say, something else that's coming up in the next part of the programme, telephone etiquette. You've really got to stop. And when you engage in conversation, don't be texting at the same time. You know, just some words of advice there from your friendly Midweek Drive Audio Edition. It's 8:37 on a Thursday, the 11th of February. Where's the year going, Jane?
I don't know.
Where is the year going? Hopefully up next, Ian Lennox. Jill Sennett from BBC Humberside. Do you know, outrageous. I do her show, or I do her production show on a Monday, 7 a.m. I have to get down here from Middles, 126 miles. I do my sort of spiel, etc. I get the answer phone. Reciprocation. You think, what? You know, really? She used to be a Midweek driver as well. Unbelievable. Maybe it's just your wrong number. Maybe it's parental concerns. Still, here's the Rainbow Valley. Thank you.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on The Midweek Drive.
Well, it's, of course, a big relief, Jane, as you imagine, when so much flack from Harrogate and Peterborough in terms of where was their representation.
Exactly.
Thankfully, it's been addressed now. It's an important thing, including glitter parties, yes. Which I know if anybody knows about glitter parties, because he's always got the finger on the cultural pulse, even. Cultural pulse.
That's something else entirely.
It's completely different. I was wearing my medical hat for a moment there. It's Ian Lennox. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Well, even more delightful because, the first ever Cathedral Cup, as I say, what will become in centuries to go, the equivalent between the Oxford and Cambridge boats race. This is between two universities in Lincoln, University of Lincoln and Bishop Grist-Test University. First ever football match, the Cathedral Cup, played yesterday at Lincoln City's football ground. Claire Margerison was actually there.
I was.
Ian, being a Newcastle United fan, probably isn't even interested in the result, but I think we need to share with him what was the result of this University of Lincoln versus Bishop Grist-Test University.
6-1 to Lincoln.
And that is why, Jane, you rightly said, we'll be dropping that in at regular. Just through the programme.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's braggable. I think we have bragging rights right there.
Celebrate and rejoice, Ian. I know that you're smiling there thinking,
I thought it was one of those Shrove Tuesday games that take about 4 days to play in a 5-kibber in hospital every goal.
Oh, you're so old school, Ian. what is it about glitter parties, then? Jane, you turned to me and said, what's this glitter party about? And I'm thinking, we got Shawaddy Waddy up in the next part of the programme. They were part of the sort of movement, which was like glam rock, glitter rock, although they were more rock and roll, as we'll say. Although, interesting, we're speaking to Romeo Challenger. he's in Leicester. He plays drums and has sung on a number of Shawaddy Waddy hits. But the glitter party, is this your little baby then, Tessa?
I love glitter parties.
Have you invited
really
Ian Lennox to one recently?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I've never heard of them.
No, exactly.
Are they some post-Gothic fashion thing?
Nice touch. Post-Gothic fashion thing. Are they a post-Gothic fashion thing?
It's more just the glitter. So you've got makeup artists doing your face in pretty colours.
Isn't that face painting?
Well, but be more advanced with glitter.
Right. The only face painting I've ever sort of taken part in was when I actually sort of volunteered to be a model for somebody who actually had her own natural tanning system, and she painted me as a tiger. fortunately.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Other
pictures,
we have
please,
the
Alex.
Pictures.
Yes.
It was pre-Facebook girls, it's the whole sort of system. So, I just worked through that. But it was interesting when I did actually sort of get stopped on the way home by the police. Fortunately, they did everything was clear, etc. But I think they were quite surprised by seeing sort of a tiger. Facebook, it's all right. I'm not going to. My biography, it'll explain all that. Ian, I know as ever you're always keen to find out what is happening at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, and once again we have the legendary director of the Lincolnshire Actual Society. Let's I can see Jane at this moment.
Yeah, with your words,
have you been drinking that because of the 6-1 victory, Alex?
No, I think it's more likely the Man City lost to
Leicester
City.
Oh.
Sorry, your line just went dead for a moment there, Ian.
It's got selective hearing.
Yeah. Man City team cost £230-something million. Pounds. Leicester City cost £23 million.
Sorry, Ian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
moving on.
I'm sitting down, I'm enjoying myself.
Really? Very good. To return, Jane, to the notion, I always like to think when we're doing these programmes, what on earth would Amelia Chambers be thinking if we're not getting on message and plugging that Lincolnshire Agricultural Society event?
Well, the Lincolnshire show, if we're talking about the show, which is June this year, I've actually got a planning meeting about it today. There's lots happening. All I would say is just to everyone, if they want to know what's happening at the showground, look at the showground website. We've also got a show website. We're updating it all the time. There's lots happening. We've got the Lincolnshire show this year. We've got the Dancing Diggers.
This is the key point, because those Dancing Diggers, which I've been fortunate enough to see in Harrogate, and I think at the Lincolnshire showground as well, where they
performed over 10 years ago.
Right. And they are quite phenomenal, because you would think initially, actually Newark was the place I saw them in this sort of area. Yes, at the Newark sort of event, or Newark and Notts show, or as it's referred to these days for some bizarre reason, the Nottinghamshire County show.
Yeah,
it's all right, Adrian, we still appreciate you, and one day you will return as well. I've got to keep them happy.
How old is the Lincoln show?
It's a 132nd show this year, but I haven't been to all of them.
For reasons beyond our control.
Yeah.
But you did your best.
I did my best.
It is a Grenadier, even obviously a regular. Claire, you haven't done the Lincolnshire shows yet, have you?
No, I mean, I've only been to a certain other country show.
That's the Great Yorkshire Show. It's all right. It's the country's biggest agricultural show.
Yeah, I've
but
only
in
been
terms
there.
Of quality,
it's the best thing.
Yeah,
I've
only been.
Lincoln's always the best, Alex.
Great Yorkshire Show, I think.
What we're saying, Claire, there's been 132 shows, and you haven't been to any of them.
Good point, Ian. Yeah,
right.
She's. I don't know because she hasn't even got headphones on present. She'll be sharing. She's been sharing them. it's all there. It's wonderful. It's quite warm and. East of England is probably your closest county show at Peterborough.
Yeah.
Have you been there, Tessa?
I have, and I've been to a lot of country and agriculture shows. I really like them.
So apart from your sister's birthday, which obviously takes out Countryside Links, you're going to be sort of coming out for the Lincolnshire show.
Well, I would love to. I love them kind of shows.
I think so.
If I can make it, I definitely will.
Make that journey from Peterborough, you know, back up to the whole thing. Yeah. And Mary, I know in London you sort of...
Cows?
Exactly. But have you ever been to a country show?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm such a city girl.
But the trouble is, it's more than just an agricultural show, isn't it, Alex? There's so much more to it. It's a great networking event. There's great businesses in Lincoln. It's just a great day. Two days.
And as we said, Ian, if you want to go to LincolnshireShowground.co.uk or indeed anybody, you can see all these wonderful things in full, wonderful, glorious.
I used to go to those sort of shows when I was a reporter, a young reporter. I once saw Miss England getting paid for opening the show. She got up and said, I declare the show open, and then sat down. I thought, that's a good way to make a living.
That's the sort of line which would go down extremely well on the comedy curry night, wouldn't it, Jane?
Yes.
Just that delivery. Ian, are you available? I mean, you could actually be a stand-up sort of solo.
Seriously, you don't want me as a stand-up comedian?
No, seriously, exactly.
Laughing with and laughing at, you see. Yes.
It would add a whole new sort of vista of wonderment to the whole thing. This is on the 25th of March, and it's a chance of spicing up your night with curry, naan bread and poppadoms with a side order of laughs. What's not to appreciate? A comedy curry night. Do you know, once again, Jane, I've never been to one as yet. Clearly.
Do you know if the curry's gluten-free?
If someone said that they were gluten-free, they would do it. We've got, you know, we have lots of events where we have different dietary requirements, so if people have notified us...
Definitely up for. I love Claire.
Last week, Claire put in the challenge to William Sitwell about getting one of his colleagues to actually put together a gluten-free eclair, for which she said she would pay £5 at least for.
Right.
That is my life goal, to have a gluten-free chocolate eclair.
That's the critical side of things.
It's an anagram of my name, so I kind of have to.
You could get lots more things now gluten-free, can't you?
Yeah, which is fab.
Even in Newcastle, I believe. It's quite astounding from that perspective. But still, there is that. And the gluten-free curry could be another sort of little challenge which you can work through.
Yeah.
But before we actually say farewell to your good self, Jane, I know you also are delighted to be able to join with Ian in having a listen to the Cameron Tilbury musical selection, which, of course, usually sort of emerges on the Wednesday. Mary, of course, you had the privilege of your first ever live reveal of this particular number. And it says... A genuine cowboy.
It was a genuine cowboy.
A rodeo.
Genuine cowboy rodeo. Can we remember the pronunciation of the name?
I wouldn't dare attempt. No.
Wallet. I think it's I think it's wallet, but spelled W-A-H-L-E-R-T.
Yeah.
Actually got his higher education in terms of bull riding, which is very good. Scholarship for bull riding. Could be worth considering for Lincoln, you know, possible scholarship for bull riding.
Well, actually, I'm thinking that, and also Alex in the main ring with his glitter.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Tiger face with glitter. So we've got a plan.
And the fee, Jane?
Oh, you don't have to pay us, Alex. We'll just let you.
Ian, I will win.
The fire cracks at the break of dawn. The coffee's as black as the night is long. The stars start to fade as the sun burns red. There's horses to break, there's cows to catch. From the open, I will and I'll do it again. It's my cross to bear, and I will win. Yeah.
It's almost like an 80s ballad for Western folk. Austin Wallet there, I Will Win. Jane Southall, what did you make of that little number?
Yeah, I thought that was really good, quite catchy.
Well, quite powerful in its own way. Does it still float the boat second time round, Tessa?
It does. Still very line dancing.
Good. And Mary?
Yep, the same opinion. Yep.
First time you've heard it, Claire?
Very epic.
I think it is. Yeah, it's really big country, everything else. And Eva?
Yeah, it sounds good. I like it.
But we might all sort of think it's okay. What does Ian Lennox make of it? What?
I liked it. It was quite a good, fast tune. I thought the guy's voice was slightly too small for the song, but.
Oh. Would you like us to relay that to him when he joins us on the show in a few weeks' time?
No.
Have you got a small voice there? But, you know?
I've just kept on thinking Johnny Cash and things.
Yeah, it's not as deep as Johnny Cash, obviously.
But I think he's got a good sense of rhythm and he's quite a talented guy, I guess.
That's Mr. Wallace there, who will probably be joining us, in a few weeks' time, unless, of course, his voice is too small to cross the Atlantic. Jane and Tessa, you now need to leave us.
We do.
Yes.
But before you do, Tessa, would you like to ask Ian those last two questions? Because he has to leave us as well.
Oh, I'm cool this one.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Ah, indeed, thank you.
And will you be joining us again on the show next week?
I hope so, if I can get a bigger voice.
It's always important. But, you know, I've always felt your voice is perfectly sized for your good self, Ian. You know, it's important from that point of view. And, Jane, you've enjoyed the programme, presumably?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Next month, of course, already putting in the bid, we have the great Sally Mundy.
You do. I think you've got Sally and Rosie.
And Rosie.
You've got a duo next month. Literally. Safety in numbers. I'll ask them not to wear glitter.
The last production before Countryside Links.
Yes.
Fires off into all sorts of ways, and we build that April the 10th reminder from that point of view. Linkageshowground.co.uk for any of the sort of information we've been talking about, and much, much more from the science fiction, fantasy, geek event that's taking place in July.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Lincolnshire Show, Elton John's warm up act for the Lincolnshire Show. Only kidding, Sir Elton. And a whole heap of other goodies as well. So great stuff there. Okay, we featured a wonderful singer yesterday called Kirsty Churchill, and we did say, did we not, Ian and Ian, did we not?
I'm sorry.
For a moment there, I thought you transposed your physicality with Tessa. You know, Tessa, Ian, Ian, Tessa. I was
same
you know,
person.
Very curious. Never actually seen together in the same room. Anyway, Tessa and Mary, you were keen to actually sort of acknowledge the fact that we did promise Kirsty we would play this particular number again. Words, a last from Surrey, who's countrified, and we did manage to locate with Facebook, etc. So this will take us up to the news. Celebrate and rejoice on Siren FM, because coming up, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, probably William Sitwell, Romeo Challenger from Shawadi Wadi, and psychologist Judy James. That's the kind of entertainment we'll be providing for you whilst Tessa goes and does her shorthand.
Yeah.
I said.